Welcome to the Bumblecast, everyone. I'm your host, Ian Flynn, the Bumble King, and joining me as always is the number one Ian cosplayer out there, Kyle Krause.
Could I cosplay as you? I probably could.
Oh, really?
I might be able to.
I mean, just grow a beard and start randomly telling Sonic facts to people in the most awkward way possible. No one will tell the difference.
Well, awkward Sonic facts I can do. Growing a beard, I can grow a beard, but I hate having a beard, so.
Why do you hate having a beard? Beards are wonderful. They're manly.
I understand that. They just aren't for me. I don't really feel them, you know? I mean, I feel them on my face, and then I'm like, go away, I don't want you here. You're annoying. Maybe it's because I just don't let them grow out long enough, but it's like, get off, get off.
I think you could pass for a pretty good Bond villain with a beard.
My problem is if I let it grow out, I'd have a really gnarly neck beard, and I really don't want that.
Oh, okay.
I mean, even if it didn't have the bad the connotations that it has now, I don't want it.
Understandable.
Yeah, the way my hair grows on my face, it's a little awkward, so.
Well, aside from keeping your chin baby smooth, what have you been up to, sir?
Well, not a whole heck of a lot, just kind of hanging in there. But I did see a piece of news that came across our collective news desks this past week or 2 weeks when we've been off.
Tonight on the Bumble News.
Bumble News!
Kyle Krause says...
SNES Classic Edition announced by Nintendo.
And with Star Fox freaking 2.
Star Fox 2. Finally releasing the finished version. Which, it seems really weird that they would invest the time and effort and money into developing a game only to finish it, but not release it. But, what do I know? I don't run a business.
They're releasing it now, ain't they?
Well, yeah, sure. It's 20 years later. Or has it been 20 years? Yeah, at least 20 years. They have finally decided to release Star Fox 2 as part of the new SNES Classic Edition.
Nice that they're going to release a nice Star Fox game after Star Fox 64. Oh!
Oh, man, yeah. It's really weird that they haven't had one since Star Fox 64. Other than Star Fox 64 3D.
Indeed.
Which is just a remake. But, yeah, it looks pretty cool. I'm not sure if I'll get to pick one up. Much less want to pick one up. But, hey, if I see it, maybe I will. If I actually see it in stores, which is... I'm hesitant to say that's going to be likely at all, even though Nintendo's adamantly saying, they're going to make more this time.
Yeah.
You're making more, but you're not going to make enough more. And it is only, in fact, a limited edition thing that they're selling through the holidays. So,
I cracked up at a tweet I saw in response. Announcing the new SNES Mini. There will be one manufactured. May the odds forever be in your favor.
It might as well be. But it is a solid, really solid games list, too.
Mm-hmm.
Including Star Fox 2, or not including Star Fox 2, it comes with 20 of the probably top 20 Super Nintendo games. If I were making the list, I would definitely make a few changes, namely bumping it up to 30 so it matches the NES Classic Edition, but I think the list of games is really solid, so I'm interested to see kind of what happens with it, and I'm hopeful that they make enough, because if anything, it would be really nice to have a Super Nintendo controller, an official Super Nintendo controller to use for, you know, Wii and Wii U virtual console at least. So that'd be nice.
We're assuming they're compatible.
They are.
Well then.
Just like the NES Classic Edition controllers are compatible. They're using the same...
Well then.
They're using the same plug. They are making They are almost doubling the length of the cord, at least. The controller cord.
Ah, so you don't have to be bit in half to play.
No, maybe. Well, I don't know. They're 5 feet long now. So not super long. They're not long. They're not the same length or longer than the original controller cords. But whatever. We can't all be perfect, Nintendo. But I'm assuming that means now that you can actually access the home menu from the controller? I hope so.
That might be nice.
Because that was really like a dumb design decision for the NES Classic Edition. So, what have you been up to, Ian? What have you,
been
seen lately?
Lots of travels, lots of cons. A few weeks ago, I did Heroes Con in Charlotte, North Carolina. That's kind of my mainstay. And then had just enough time to catch my breath before I flew out to do Denver Comic Con. First time I did that show, absolutely amazing. You can see a whole bunch of photos of the various cosplay pictures I was able to take during the show over at Facebook.com/BumbleKing. And we'll get more into the topic of that later, but there was a ton of interesting costumes there. I only got like maybe 2% of what I went, ooh, look at that! And some truly fantastic Sonic fans. Apparently, there are a lot of people in the Denver area that really just wanted to say hey. And I had one couple fly in from Chicago so they could say hey. And just, oh my goodness, it was overwhelming, to be honest. It was also the first time I've been to Denver, which is, you know, the Mile High City.
Correct.
I'm used to living down by Lake Ontario. That shift in altitude messes with you, man.
Is Lake Ontario sea level?
I am honestly not sure, but it certainly isn't a mile high, I can tell you that.
No. Yeah, it's going up that altitude, man. It's rough. It can be rough if you're not used to it. So
I mean, I'm just wolfing down salty and chocolatey things just to keep awake, because I don't know if I could do more than 3 days at a time.
Yeah, breathing gets more difficult higher up you go for a while. It takes a while for your body to kind of equalize and realize, okay, I need to do this much with this much oxygen. I'm not getting the same amount.
I was rushing to my flight and now, not that I'm in the greatest of shape, but, you know, I can usually manage more than 5 steps at a brisk walk before going.
Could you, what, did you, like, do 2? 2 steps? It's like, I'm dead.
Just about, man. It was rough.
I've heard great things about Denver, though. And
it is a lovely city.
And looking at it, as I've seen it in photographs, it's definitely a beautiful place. That's like the place I'd like to live, or, you know, a place kind of like that, where it's, you know, kind of mountainous, green.
Mm-hmm.
It's relatively cool. I'm not a tropical kind of guy. I like the mountain. I like mountainous and, you know, greenery, and I don't know about snow because I've never really had much snow experience, but. Yeah, I can deal with it. I can probably live with it.
I didn't see a ton of it, but what I did see was extremely charming and reminded me a lot about Toronto. Mm-hmm. Because you've got a lot of new structures with the older structures incorporated into it instead of just being built over, or demolished, or buried. Very clean streets, lots of very wide open sidewalks. You know, a big city that felt open and accessible. And I would like to go back.
Yeah. Cool.
It also inspired today's topic, but before we do that, we're going to move on to the Bumble Raffle.
Yeah.
Bumble Raffle is a contest we have every show where someone at random is picked to win a prize. Yay!
A prize! Woohoo!
If you are a patron over at patreon.com/bumblecast, you are automatically entered into every single drawing. Otherwise, you need to email us at bumblecast@yahoo.com. You get the same priority as everybody else. Everybody gets the same chances, but if you are writing in, you need to write in for every episode that you want to compete.
Yes.
So, this episode's winner is James G.
James G. Nice.
So congratulations, James. We'll be reaching out to you to find out where we're going to send you your prize. And if you have won a previous Bumble raffle and have not received your prize or for some reason have missed the contact email from us, please reach out to us because we want to give you nice things. We really do.
Yes, we will give you nice things. It's a nice thing to do.
So as I was saying, at Denver Comic Con, I saw a whole bunch of excellent cosplays, some interesting trends and other stuff, and I just thought we'd talk a little bit about that and the trend of, you know, cosplaying in general. Not that I'm really big into that culture.
Sure. That would
demographic?
That's a word you could use.
Fandom?
I think I don't know if cosplay is a fandom in and of itself. Well, I guess there are cosplay fans. But I'm just thinking, like, cosplay is part of every fandom, almost.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of one where it really wouldn't be a part of it. Or couldn't be a part of it, at least. So, I don't know. So, I think culture is an apt word to use.
Okay. Like I said, you can find a bunch of the photos I was able to take at facebook.com/BumbleKing. And a number of the ones that I missed. Okay, so I was coming back from a panel, and there's a million people, so I couldn't stop and take a picture. And these guys were getting suited up after lunch anyway, so it wouldn't have been the same effect. But it was basically all 5 Sailor Scouts from Sailor Moon rendered as Gundams.
Ah, that's actually pretty, that sounds pretty cool.
Like, the skirts were actually kind of like armored plates that hung down over the legs. The bows were not just emblems, but like actual individual parts of the armor chest piece. It looked really cool. It wasn't like it was a mockery of either side. It was this beautiful amalgamation of the two.
Were they, I'm guessing they were like pretty detailed. They did.
Oh yeah. These were high quality ones. I don't know what they were made out of, but they looked fantastic.
Nice.
There was a family where mom, who at a glance, if I had saw her walking down the street, I wouldn't have expected her to dress up as anything. She was Toriel from Undertale.
Okay.
The 3 kids with her were Frisk, Kara, and Azrael.
Oh. Very nice.
There were a whole slew of different Azraels, a number of Udines, innumerable Sansas, but that's to be expected because, it's Sans.
Papyruses, probably.
I love it when you're able to interact with these cosplayers and they get into character a little bit. I don't need them to go full on Renaissance fair with me, but case in point, there were a couple of girls dressed as Ladybug and Chat Noir from the Miraculous Adventures of Ladybug and Chat Noir. So, now take the picture. 3, 2, 1. Miraculous. And she says, hey, that was spot on, which is what she says when she transforms in the show. And it's like, ha ha.
Or I see what you did there.
Or if you're a fan of Archer, there was one show where there was a very impressive Lana Kang walking by. And I go, Lana, Lana, Lana. And she turns around and goes, what?
Very nice.
There was an absolutely adorable mother-son pairing. The kid couldn't have been more than like 3 or 4. She was dressed as Daenerys Targaryen from Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
And he was Khal Drogo with the full-on fluffy fake beard. It was the cutest thing in the world.
Very cool.
There was a Pharaoh man there, circa the old cartoon, and it was a good costume, and I'm kicking myself because he walked away right as I got a good idea, and I couldn't get to him in time. What I wanted to do was do 2 more pictures, one where I was shaking his hand so I could tweet, now I got your power, and then a follow-up picture of him just clocking me in the face, because that would have been great!
Do you have any? You don't have any pictures of him on here?
I do have 1 picture of him.
I'm looking.
It's a low angle shot, so it's kind of hard to see the helmet. But yeah. Pharaoh Man, if you're out there, next year we got to do this, man. Really odd trend, though.
Mm-hmm.
There were like at least 6 or 7 '90s era Jubilees from X-Men, and one of them was a dude.
Okay.
And I'm not opposed at all to gender swapping, gender bending, whatever cosplay, because those can be fun. And I've seen some really impressive ones, in either direction.
Crossplay, yes.
I'm not opposed to 90s Jubilee because that was her best design and the best incarnation of the character, in my modest opinion.
Yes.
But that version of Jubilee hasn't been in any form of media since the 90s. She's a single mother vampire now. It's.
Incorrect. X-Men 92 is a comic.
Okay, but is that still in circulation?
Yes, I do believe so.
Well, then shut my mouth.
I think so. I mean, it's kind of a small thing 'cause comic readership is not huge, but she's out there.
It just, I, it was odd seeing that specifically. There were a lot of fun couple cosplays, and the one I saw a number of them do was Guy is dressed as some form of Princess Peach, either full gown or an interpretation, and the girl was dressed as Mario, again, either in coveralls or in some interpretation of it. Multiple groups. But the best of those, absolute best mix and match group Marios. Let's see here. Dad was Luigi with little Mario on his shoulders. Couldn't be more than like five. Mom was Waluigi, complete with the little mustache flying away from under her nose. And in the stroller was little roly-poly Wario.
Oh, jeez. Oh, man.
There were a billion Princess Zeldas, most of them Twilight Princess styled, a number of very well done Twilight Midnas. Let's see, what else, what else, what else? There was the one thing I seem to consistently see at all these shows is there's one dude dressed as Zora Link circa Twilight Princess. And every single time it is increasing quality of costume. Always a different person. But for some reason, the folks who do Zora Link circa Twilight Princess do it way beyond the Call of Duty. It looks amazing.
I think I'm seeing that right here. That's
I mean, that's some high quality stuff.
that's pretty freaking cool.
And of course, it wouldn't be a show that I'm at without plenty of Sonic cosplayers.
Yes.
Lovely couple as Sonic and Shadow. Who said they might come as Knuckles and T'Challa next time?
That's cool.
Sonic and Tails couple, a couple of different Amy Roses, and then the, end all be all for this show was a whole family. Mom and Dad dressed completely in blue. Dad had a supersonic beanie on. Mom had a Amy Rose beanie on. Two of the kids were in full-on mascot Sonic and Shadow costumes. And then the third kid was dressed in themed as Silver.
Whoa.
Holy mackerel,
So
Kyle, the Sonic and Shadow
a whole
costumes.
Sonic family?
Yes, a whole Sonic family. And those Sonic and Shadow costumes were really, really good. It reminds me of this one cosplayer that I've seen in New York a couple times who came as the Werehog. And I don't know if she did the same thing as these two guys did, but they had like ice packs packed in the suit so they weren't overheating. And it's like, I really wish I had that at the show because I was melting, but for entirely different reasons. And just the level of craftsmanship and devotion these people have is stunning.
That's one of the really cool things about cosplay. It's just the artistry of it.
I mean, you've been to one or two shows yourself. Anything stand out
Indeed.
to you?
Man, I'm trying to remember. You know our good friend Noel,
Yes.
or Slider, or N Carbohydrate as he goes by these days sometimes. She herself, she's done a number of different cosplays, including cosplaying as the character that she inspired in the Mega Man comic, which was delightfully meta and absolutely perfect. She's done some Mega Man cosplays in like full armor. I'm trying to remember what character she was doing though. I can't remember.
Well, that's too bad.
I'm sure. Let me see if she's got any pictures here. She might. Who is red and black in Mega Man? Who has red and black armor and yellow? with like yellow accents.
Proto Man?
Not Proto Man.
Flash Man.
It might be Flash Man. No, it's not
Metal
Flash
Man.
Maybe it's Metal Man. I'm trying to remember.
Guts
either
Man?
Way. Either no, not Guts Man.
Imagining her as Guts Man is really funny. If you're listening to this T2, that is your next objective. I want to see that manly jawline.
Yes. Yes, cosplay as Guts Man. My favorite one, though, is still her as Lalinde.
Mm-hmm.
It's glorious.
That was a lot of fun. God, I miss writing. Anyway.
It's Quick Man. Quick Man. That's the one.
Ah.
I believe. No. That's not Quick Man. Jeez. I'm so bad at... I'm bad at this, man. I'm bad at this. Oh, that is... Wait.
Who's that robot master?
Okay, who has lightning on their chest? Is that... That's not Quick Man. Is it Elec Man? It's not Elec Man.
Now, this is something else. Is she going as the classic designs, or is she going as the Auriga designs?
It's classic.
Okay.
It is Elec Man. Yeah, it's Elec Man. It's a good costume, too. It's really cool. Yeah, okay, Elec Man. She has a very good Elec Man
costume. It's been a while since I've looked at the whole classic Robot Masters. Oh, yes. I failed my own nerdom.
I feel bad because I couldn't freaking remember. But yes, she does some really good cosplay. I know the last show I was at, basically what stood out was the amount of Harley Quinns,
mm-hmm.
which I'm sure are like a staple now at this point at every show.
They were not everywhere this time.
Oh, yeah?
There was actually a surprisingly limited number of Harleys and Wonder Womans walking around.
That's interesting. I would have expected Wonder Woman's because, you know, the movie just came out.
Truth be told, the most detailed movie-accurate Wonder Woman I saw was being worn by a dude.
Really?
I see that as more respect of the character than, you know, anything else.
Sure. I think that could work. I don't see why that wouldn't work.
There was one show where we were just being flooded with Harleys and Jokers, and it was getting tiresome. And then couple comes up, and they're Harley and Joker, but with a samurai geisha theme going on,
mm-hmm.
where her little parasol actually had like the different card suits as a pattern on it, and it was more here is the style, but with this theme to it, and it was really cool.
Yeah, I do kind of like the mashup cosplays. Those can be fun. They seem to put a little bit more effort into doing mashup cosplays,
mm-hmm.
just because I think they're just trying to get the theme across and the character across, so they have to work kind of extra to make sure to convey both of those things. So they tend to be really cool.
If you were to cosplay, who would you do?
I honestly couldn't tell you. I am like... I don't know. Who would you cosplay as, Ian?
I have seriously put thought into how I would put together a Dr. Eggman cosplay.
That's probably one of the characters I could pull off. Be Eggman. Yeah. And I could see that for you, too.
I figure if I can find some waiter pants, because that's got that whole weird boot thing going on.
Yeah.
I could shave my head easily enough. Nice wireframe fake mustache. The hardest part would be finding the proper glasses, goggles, and getting the coat done.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays it seems like there's a larger market for custom-made and mass-produced cosplay costumes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there were multiple, at least three people walking around the Denver show that had Robin from Fire Emblem Awakening.
Yes.
His coat. Not the full costume, just the coat. And it's like, those are all exactly the same in terms of quality and material. Somebody is making a mint.
Yes. Yes. That is very popular these days, to make specific parts or entire outfits for cosplays, which is actually pretty cool, although it kind of defeats the uniqueness. So you'll see, you know, three people with the same coat or things like that. Which is all right. All right. It's still really cool because they're still handmade costumes. They still look.
Exactly.
They tend to look pretty dang good.
And I know that there is some. Oh, how do I want to say this? Political frouhaha within the community over buying a costume and making it your own.
Sure.
The quality that you use, the authenticity, the accuracy, and yada, yada, yada. And to me, if you can make a perfectly movie accurate, super detailed, high quality costume for yourself that fits well and you rock the part, awesome. Gold star. The level of dedication is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
If you're someone like me who wouldn't know how to turn on a sewing machine, let alone make something, if you have the dedication to buy something from someone who does have that skill, that's the same level of dedication in
Absolutely.
The spirit of things. And it's all about having fun and representing the characters you enjoy and celebrating Halloween more than once a year.
Right. I think that kind of drama is a little bit silly myself, but
it is. And to you, sir, from a Heroes Con many years back, who came to the show dressed as Magneto in a costume entirely made of felt. Entirely
yes.
made of felt. Including the little wing of dingle on the front of the helmet. Hood ornament, I guess. I snickered at you, sir, I will admit, because frankly, that looked silly. But the point is, you came to the show with your wife, both of you dressed as X-Men, and you made that costume yourself. You have done more than I ever could. So to you,
absolutely,
I tip my hat.
Yes.
I rescind my snicker. Partially, because it was felt, Kyle.
It's still funny. It's still
felt.
Funny.
That's still goofy looking.
It's still goofy.
But
it's still funny.
He did it. He
but
put
hey,
it on
you know,
and...
you know what? Maybe he knew it was goofy looking, but he wanted to do it anyway. Or he did it because it was going to be goofy looking, and he wanted to be goofy looking.
And you know
it's
what?
All,
he came
it's all
out
the
to
name
Charlotte.
Of fun. So,
he came
that?
Out to Charlotte... in the middle of the summer dressed in felt and didn't die. So he's right there, manlier than everyone else on the planet.
Yes. Yes.
So kudos to you, sir.
Yes. I have seen many a cardboard Mega Man in my day.
Indeed.
Yes.
Although.
And some of them are really actually pretty dang good. You can pull it off, but, you know, other ones are just kind of weird, you know, spray painted boxes taped to their legs.
And then you have this, like, 11-year-old at... where was it? This was a Heroes Con this year, who was dressed as Zero, circa X2 and up.
Okay.
And it looked like he was wearing brushed metal.
Very nice.
Kyle, yes. This looked like they took a D-Arts figure and blew it up 10 times.
Oh, sweet. That's hard.
This was the sickest costume the Mega Man franchise I've ever seen, and that's saying something.
That's really, that's
awesome
really,
costume.
That's really hard to do to get that brushed metal look. On a on a cosplay costume without it being actually metal. It's tough. But man, I gotta give props to the Mega Man cosplayers who managed to pull it off, because those designs aren't always easy to make, nor are they easy to move around in. some of them are a little awkward. It's kind of funny how they you have to kind of suspend your disbelief, like, oh yeah, these are robots; they can just move around however they want. But then you put them on, you put their outfits on real people, and it's like, maybe mobility is a little more limited than you thought.
All they got to do is find that one light capsule and upgrade to the dash ability, and they'll be fine.
That's true. It's true. That will probably help a lot. You got to you'd have to dash everywhere, which is fine. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Of course. Who wouldn't dash everywhere if they had dash boots?
I mean, you gotta go fast. I'm mixing my franchises. Ah!
No, no. Oh, well, they had a crossover, so it's fine.
Now, this is true. That does give me the perfect segue in today's ad. This is brought to us by our good friend Daniel H. And he'd like to boost the amazing and fun charity called Extra Life. He always heard that growing up, the video games never helped anybody. Now you can prove all of those old notions wrong. By registering for a 24-hour session, you'll be helping sick kids and injured kids across the good old US of A and our great neighbors to the north in Canada. Check them out at www.extra-life.org and get into the good old good deed of gaming.
Yes. I can speak with some experience that Extra Life is a great charity and well worth your time to check out. And they do some really awesome stuff. So if you want to be a part of raising money and streaming for them, absolutely go do it. If you want to give to them or any of the streamers who will be streaming, go do that too. It's well worth your time.
And if you want to be like Daniel H. and have your ad on the Bumblecast, just shoot us an email at bumblecast@yahoo.com. We'll direct you how that you can purchase that space off of the Patreon.
Yes.
And speaking of the wonderful perks we have at patreon.com/bumblecast, it's time for the priority Q&A.
Indeed. Remember, you can ask your questions by emailing us at bumblecast@yahoo.com, on Twitter using the hashtag Bumblecast, or on Patreon in the comments or via private message. We will see your comments there. So every show, we will do a special group of patron Q&A that's right at the front of the line. You don't have to wait. So that's one of the perks you get if you head on over to patreon.com/bumblecast. All right, let's get into the priority Q&A right now on the Bumblecast. This first one comes from Mike B. Several Bumblecasts back, you mentioned how the Freedom Fighters were considered to be contractually, in quotes, able to be in the comics. Was that because they were just grandfathered in, or was it also that Sega gave Archie exclusive use to use them?
Can we just take a moment and enjoy the fact we now have continuity in the Q&A?
Sure.
People referencing past episodes? I don't know. Maybe I'm a giant dork, but that kind of makes me happy.
I don't know, man. Are we going to have a Q&A crossover? Is this going to be a thing?
Oh, no.
I don't know how I could do that. That'd be a little awkward. Could we have, like, I don't know. Do we have to retcon some Q&A? That might be interesting.
Pull up some old questions where I was like, I don't know, or yeah, this will definitely happen, and go, yeah, that didn't turn out.
Yeah, we could do that. Some retractions and
clarifications.
That might be interesting. Yes. Yes, indeed.
Anyway, yes, they were grandfathered in because the comics, Archie and Sega's original contract was based around the two early cartoons, Adventures of and Sad AM. Otherwise, Sega is not keen on giving any kind of attention to the old properties, like how we're not allowed to touch Sonic Underground or the OVA or reference Sonic X, and there's no crossover with Sonic Boom. They kind of like Sonic just being whatever the current form of Sonic is. And that's part of why we updated their designs when we did, to make them feel more like regular Sonic so that they would kind of float under the radar. But because of the way that the contract is and the way that the licensing agreement was, at any given moment, any of that stuff could be taken away because that doesn't represent the brand anymore. So
right.
The fact that they lasted as long as they have is just stunning. So there you go.
Yeah, I'm sure that's an exciting thing about writing a licensed comic, is that the licensor could do all sorts of things and just be weird, and who knows what could happen. So, yeah. Be careful if any of you out there ever have to write a licensed comic. All right, this next one comes from Sam Cybercat. Do you think you'd ever add a Pato character to the Sonic universe?
It's tempting just because I love those little fluff balls. They're just such neat, weird critters. But I also feel like I'm still associated with that old screen name that it would feel a little too much like nepotism. I don't know.
How is that nepotism? It's not like you're hiring your Pato son to portray your...
No, but it's, you know, nepotism in terms of species representation.
Do you have a child Pato that you're not telling us about? It's a little awkward.
Of course not. That would be illegal, Kyle.
And very awkward.
Yes, let's move on to the next question. Anyone else starts listening to
this. The legality yeah. I'm not worried about is the really awkward fact that you would have a son who is a Pato. and they would be
just
able
because
to.
My uncle Dr. Moreau came to visit for a few weeks. Doesn't mean anything. All
okay,
right?
Maybe that makes a little more sense. Anyway, yes, I don't think that's nepotism.
I'm sure somebody out there would call it that. I'm not crazy. You're crazy. You're all crazy. I'll show you. I'll show you all.
Show us your crazy. Show us your crazy by putting a Bono character in Sonic. I don't know. I'm down with it. I don't see why not.
They have spines. It would make enough sense.
Sure. There's really not any reason to not do it, unless like you don't have a good idea for one, but. You're Ian, I'm sure you can come up with something. You have to think about that, maybe. Unless you're like really concerned about people thinking you're hiring your own kid to be in a Sonic comic.
I've worked in the Sonic business for 10 years now. I'm worried about everything.
Okay, you got me there. And finally, last of the priority Q&A questions comes from Chris A. I thought Sonic Mega Drive Issue 3 Overdrive was canceled. Why is it in the works right now?
As we've said for the past month, 2 months?
A while.
The current official word is Archie and Sega are discussing the future of the license. How that pertains to what books are being produced, when they come out, and if they come out, I don't know. That's above my pay grade. I'm not involved with any of those talks. Nobody knows what's going on publicly. We'll just have to wait and see.
Indeed. All right. Any standard Q&A? Let's get on from the big list. Although it's a shrinking list, so if you have questions, please send them in. We would much appreciate it. This first one comes from Zero Sonic Blue. Is the source of all from Archie Sonic omnipotent?
That would be a better question for the writers who dealt with it more during that period. But going off of what the comic presented, I would say no. The fact that it was the building blocks for all of creation doesn't really mean that it was super powerful because, you know, we're just made out of carbon. We could do amazing things, but that doesn't make carbon really all that special or powerful.
Don't be mean to carbon. What did carbon ever do to you?
It isn't making itself into diamonds for me anytime soon. That's what... The source of all seemed to potentially be omniscient, with the ability to show visions of possible futures and, you know, stuff. But it also seemed potentially biased, so... Shrug? I don't know. There were a lot of unanswered questions about it, and when I came on board, I felt like it was a distraction from the Chaos Emerald, which was supposed to be the big magic MacGuffin. Yes. So I nuked it, and it's gone now.
Okay. Well, bye. Who needs
fire is the ultimate cleanser.
Who needs the source of all when you have Chaos Emeralds? Those are the source of all. Anyway. W.H. Smugs says, what? The Q&A is about to dry up. Are you planning on having more Madonna in the comics soon-ish?
That was the plan. I wasn't intending for her to ever become like a major character, but I did want to play more with her and her interactions in Gun and use her as a vehicle of kind of exploring how their hierarchy works. I use past tense because I don't know what's going on right now, as we've covered, but, you know, that was the idea, at least.
Right. All right, and finally, our last question comes from good old Uwai. Just wondering, is there a reason canines have both fur cheeks, like Tails, Antoine, Knack, and Nicole, and fur separate with the cheek, like Loops, Trive, and Falk? I'd seen difference by gender, like Blaze and Big, but that doesn't seem to be the case here.
Number one, Nicole is a lynx. They're more feline than canine.
Sure, yeah.
Being cats.
Yeah, I don't know. I just read these questions. I just work here. I don't know what's going on. I just work here.
And in the cases noted, Tails, Antoine, and Knack all have the cheek tufts and are male, while Lupe doesn't. She has a rounded cheeks with the fluff off the back, which is the female, which is the standard. And I'm pretty sure that if you look at the one Wolfpack issue in the new continuity, which is the only thing that counts right now, the females follow Lupe Strin while the males are closer to like Knack and Tails and them with the fluff. If there is an inconsistency between them, that is maybe an art flub if it's a background thing. Falke, off the top of my head, I think might have been in an effort more to get him closer to his original art when we redesigned him, but I don't remember off the top of my head.
I was just thinking that it was like a kind of design holdovers from earlier, but what, I don't know. Since they did go through a redesign with a lot of the characters, I was just wondering if it was maybe because of the redesigns, but certain things got held over from the old designs, and that was one of them. So it was kind of like a thing that got grandfathered in, to, so to speak. So,
and we tried to go by what little standard there seems to be set by the Sega games, but sometimes the rule of cool or just the design aesthetic overruled. So
sure.
I mean, oh, the long debates I've had over the validity of hair on characters is just
wearying. Oh, man. It sounds like there's about to be a lot more with Sonic Forces.
Well, I mean, Sonic Forces is...
at least they'll have a set of standardized hair options, I'd assume.
Yeah, I mean, Sonic Forces, when the character customization thing becomes, you know, cracked wide open,
sure,
that's going to redefine what is considered canon in terms of viable character design. So
sure,
in terms of the design aspect, it's a godsend, because now we can look at that and say, okay, well, the game did it here, so we're allowed to do it here.
Absolutely. That'll be nice. Maybe people won't be so up in arms about certain things.
Oh, please. Okay. You know better than that.
Never mind. We are talking about the Sonic fandom here. I love you guys. All right. That's going to do it for this edition of the Q&A on the Bumblecast and this episode of the Bumblecast.
Before we wrap up the show, we're going to give a big shout out to all the patrons who continue to make this show possible. You guys have been amazing. Most of you have been around since the start, and we cannot express just how thankful we are that you guys have stuck with us this long. And for you new folks, welcome aboard. Every new folk just makes us feel all happy and warm and fuzzy inside.
Yes.
So, big thank you to Daniel H., Alex P., Zephyr Flame, Chris A., Damo, John B., Sam Cybercat, Mike B., Connell T., Samuel P., Justin G., James K., Jennifer R., Diane W., James G., Chevelle, Don B., Clifton H., Zen Fritz, Frogman, Candylicious Cartoons, John M., and S. Yovanovich 9X. You guys are amazing.
Yes. I love hearing those names every week. Every 2 weeks. It's great. It's wonderful. We love you.
If you want to keep up with what I'm doing, you can find me at bumbleking.com or find me at Twitter at IanFlynnBKC.
And you can find what I'm doing over at KyleJCRB on Twitter. Head on over to kngi.org for archived MP3 downloads of this show and many others, including my regular weekly video game music remix cover arrangement show, Nitro Game Injection, streaming live every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time over at 8bitx.com, on YouTube at youtube.com/KyleJCRB, and on Facebook at facebook.com/KNGI.
Patrons, don't forget to join us every Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Bumblecast Gaming Live, and everybody else, we'll see you next week for the newest episode of Bumblecast Gaming.
Yes. Go watch it. Go watch the old ones now. Go watch last week's.
You can watch the train wreck that was our attempt at DC Online, where you can barely hear me through most of the video.
That's fine. Don't worry about
professionalism.
That. Don't worry about that. It's fine.
I worry about everything.
Just ignore that. I mean, it might help. Maybe we could get a few more patrons. They help us out. We get some good equipment going. That'd be cool.
It would
be nice.
That's going to wrap us up for Bumblecast episode 47. We will see you in 2 weeks for episode 48. Have a good night, everybody.
See you later.
Kyle ran out of gas.
It's kind of like that.
I'm sorry, is there anything I can do to help?
No. It's all good. Just
anything I can do to make it worse?
Maybe, but let's not talk about that.
Okay. I'm just here for you.
I can't think of anything you could do to make it worse. I can think of things other people could do to make it worse.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay.
What's up? What a mess.
Nothing. Nothing was happening. Nothing at all. Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing at all. Nothing at all. It's certainly nothing you'll hear in the editing.
Oh dear.
I'm making it sound worse than it was.
Well, that's what makes it fun. Check them out at www.extra-lifen. No. Check them out at.
Sorry.
Extra lifen.
Extra hyphen lifen.
Go hyphen.
Hyphen lifen.
With the charity and the children's.
No.
Hi there, and thanks for listening to the Bumblecast. If you liked our show, be sure to hit the subscribe button and consider supporting us on Patreon. We have some great rewards as well as big plans on how to make the show even better. Also, rate and review our show on iTunes. It gets more folks listening and helps us out, so we definitely appreciate it. Original music composed by Ken Coda Snyder, used with permission. Find more of his music at bc.s3m.us and find the theme song at noisechanradio.bandcamp.com, available as a pay-what-you-want download.